Bibles tonight and turn to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 12. Way over in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles, chapter 12. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1. And it came to pass, when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, he forsook the law of the Lord, and all Israel with him. And it came to pass that in the fifth year of King Rehoboam, Shishak, the king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem because they had transgressed against the Lord, with 1,200 chariots and 70,000 horsemen, and people were without number that came with him out of Egypt, the Lubans, the Sulicans, and the Ethiopians. And he took the fenced city which pertained to Judah, and came to Jerusalem. Then came Shemaiah the prophet to Rehoboam, and the princes of Judah that were gathered together to Jerusalem because of Shishak, and said unto them, Thus saith the Lord, You have forsaken me, and therefore I have also left you in the hand of Shishak. Wherefore, upon the princes of Israel and the king humbled themselves, and they said, The Lord is righteous. And when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, saying, They have humbled themselves, therefore I will not destroy them. But I will grant them some deliverance, and my wrath shall not be poured out upon Jerusalem by the hand of Shishak. Nevertheless, they shall be his servants, that they may know my service and the service of the kingdoms of the country. And so Shishak, the king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem and took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He took all. He carried away also the shields of gold which Solomon had made, instead of which King Rehoboam made shields of brass and committed them into the hands of the chief of the guard that kept the entrance to the king's house. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that we have this opportunity that we can come and assemble ourselves here in this house of worship. We ask you, Lord, now you might take this particular passage of Scripture and impress it into our hearts and into our minds. That tonight you might give thy servant the wisdom and the unction of the Holy Spirit. That, Father, tonight we might preach and proclaim the great truth that you have in your word. We ask you now, dear Lord, to bless our hearers. Give us all the blood-tipped ear of Calvary, that we might this evening know for a surety that the word of God is speaking and the Spirit of God is speaking to us. For all that you do, we'll praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. I thought about talking as a guy, a gentleman called me this afternoon, and I was talking to him on the phone for a minute, and he said, well, I guess you have to go. I said, yeah, I need to study just a little bit. And he said, what are you going to preach about tonight? And I thought, well, I really hadn't put a title to it, but I thought I might just call this thing spam. I don't know if y'all know what spam is or not, but that stuff pretending is meat. Tell you a good way to cook spam. You wrap it up in bacon and put it on the grill. When it gets all good and done, you take it off, throw the spam away, and eat the bacon. But if you like spam, don't get offended. Just remember my age, okay? I had some good church members over in Alabama, and they love spam. And nothing wrong with it. I just don't like it, okay? But we're going to talk about something tonight. You see, here in our scripture tonight, we find that it's an incident in the life of a man by the name of Rehoboam. Now, Rehoboam was Solomon's son, and he became king at the death of Solomon. And he took the advice of some young individuals instead of the older men and began to increase the burdens upon the people of God. And because of this, the kingdom eventually split into the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. And we find here in our text tonight that God tells us something about the rule and the reign of Rehoboam. And something tonight we need to really, I believe, get a hold of at times and see exactly what the Lord is teaching us. For he wrote these things tonight that we might learn from them, that they might teach us tonight some things about the Lord. Bible tells us in verse number 1 that he had established the kingdom. That is, he began to show and make everybody realize that he was the king. That he tonight was not his father. That tonight he was not his grandfather. That he was Rehoboam, and he was now king of the mountain. That this was his kingdom tonight. And so Rehoboam is establishing and asserting himself as the king. Now, there's nothing wrong with that tonight except for one problem tonight. It wasn't Rehoboam's kingdom. It was God's kingdom. It was God's people. And Rehoboam was to be not the king of the people, but the servant of God. He was to be the leader of this nation, not only in ways tonight of political tonight and in civil, but he was also to be the spiritual leader of this nation. And we found that he abandons those principles and makes the kingdom his own. He established the kingdom. He shows that he is now the authoritative figure in the kingdom. And the Bible tells us that he strengthened his hand. You see, it's his hand that he strengthened tonight. He strengthened himself. That's who tonight he wanted everybody to look up to. He wanted everybody to realize who he was and that he was now the king of the hill. A lot of people are like that tonight, aren't they? They want everybody to recognize them and know who they are. They want tonight everybody to bow down to them. That's what Rehoboam was doing, establishing his kingdom, establishing and strengthening himself. And then the Bible tells us something very tragic took place. And this follows in progression wherever you can find it this evening. The Bible said that he forsook the law of the Lord. He went away from what God had taught him tonight. He went away from what the Lord had told Israel to be. He went away from doing what God had said to do. You see, tonight, one thing will follow another. When God's kingdom tonight is upstirred, when a man places himself upon the throne of the kingdom and sees him not as a servant of God, sees himself not tonight as an individual who God is using tonight, and allows God to sit upon the throne instead of himself, he'll begin to strengthen himself, to lift himself up, to make sure everybody knows who he is. And then he'll forsake the law of God. That happens in our individual lives tonight. It happens in churches. I see it happen a lot of times, and we'll talk about that just in a moment in churches tonight. That things begin to happen in this progression. Then the Bible said, and all Israel with him. You see, it didn't only affect himself, he affected an entire nation of people. Isn't that sad tonight? But that's exactly what took place here. All Israel with him. And because of this, God's punishment now is going to fall. God's punishment is going to come. We find tonight that a man by the name of Shishak, the king of Egypt, he invaded and plundered the nation of Israel. He began, the Bible tells all of the army that he brought with him, how that he came in great numbers and great strength, and begin to plunder the land tonight. Then the Bible tells us something very important. You see, he began to take away the things and the treasures of Israel. Let me say this tonight. Sometimes the treasures and those things that we value so great will be taken away from us when tonight we refuse to allow God to be the king of our lives. When we decide that we are stronger than God and we don't need God anymore. God can take away those things that we treasure, as he did here in the case of the nation of Israel. And the Bible said that he carried away also the shields of gold which Solomon had made. He took away the shields of gold that Solomon had made. Now, Solomon, if you read the story, had made 300 shields of gold. And when Solomon would leave the palace, when he would leave the king's house to go to worship, they would line the house of worship, and Solomon would walk between those shields of gold, and he would come to the house of worship. And, of course, they were very valuable, and tonight they were very glorious tonight. And it was designed to show forth the glory of God. But we find the king of Egypt took them away. Now, something unusual happens with these shields of gold. Notice what the Bible said in verse 10. Instead of which, King Rehoboam made shields of brass and committed them to the hands of the chief of the guard that kept the entrance of the king's house. And we don't find anything else that he made, but he took those shields of gold and he said, now we're going to make some shields of brass. We don't have any gold left because that's been plundered. All of that's gone. We don't have that, but we can make some shields of brass. We're going to counterfeit the shields. We're going to counterfeit tonight those things tonight that really are godly. You see, tonight he's still wanting to look good, and he's still wanting to look godly when he left the king's house and headed to worship. So instead of a public repentance, instead of a show of humility tonight, he counterfeited the shields of gold, and he made them out of shields of brass. I can imagine tonight as the first day of worship came and they brought out those shields of brass and Rehoboam heads toward the house of worship. And everybody's standing there watching him as he walked through these shields of brass. I'm sure they had been polished and were gleaming in the sun. But you know, everybody knew they were counterfeit. Everybody there knew as he moved through those that they were simply counterfeits of the real thing tonight. I think it's kind of like, sometime like a small town newspaper. Somebody said a small town newspaper tonight was a publication that published what the people that caught doing what everybody knew they were doing. You know, everybody knows what's going on. Just the paper publishes those that got caught. Everybody knew what was taking place here. Rehoboam was counterfeiting to look good, to look godly before man tonight. But now we shouldn't be too harsh on Rehoboam. You know, because often I see the same thing happening today. You can see it within organized Christianity. You can see it tonight within what we could, I guess, call the church. It's not the true church, but the church movement, I sometimes suspect. We see it taking place. You know, we see tonight in the church, as I said, we see people tonight who want to establish their own kingdom. They want to make sure everybody knows what's going on and who's in charge. We see tonight they strengthen their hand, and the main thing they do is they forsake the law of God, and then they lead an entire congregation away. Jude talked about them. Paul talked about them. And they're throughout the scriptures tonight. You find them in the Old Testament. There's a passage of scripture in the book of Jeremiah that said the pastors are all together become brutish. That simply means tonight they wanted to be popular. They didn't care tonight if the sheep got slaughtered as long as they looked good while it was happening. And we live in a day and age tonight when a lot of things are taking place and I see a forsaking of the law of God. We see tonight that denominations have lifted themselves above God. They have declared that their constitution and their bylaws tonight and everything that they believe tonight does not necessarily have to be the things that God believes. Where are we at tonight? Isn't it a sad state of affairs when you look around the world tonight, and we find that the church tonight that was charged with preaching the gospel that was charged tonight with bringing men to repentance, that was charged tonight with letting the Holy Spirit convict men of their sin, tonight no longer wants to mention the cardinal doctrines of the Scripture. Instead, tonight, they want to compromise. They tonight want to say it's okay to do many of the things that's taking place in our world tonight, even though the Word of God condemns them. And then they stand and they have the shields of brass and they fill houses to capacity. But what takes place? Absolutely nothing. It's nothing but a bunch of counterfeits. But you see, it also happens to individuals tonight. You see, sometimes sin enters our life. Sin comes into you and I. Sin sneaks in and sneaks up on us and comes into our heart, comes into our lives. And when sin enters into our life and, tonight it destroys our relationship with God. It may even be a secret sin. Now, I know God knows all, but what I'm saying tonight, it may be well hidden. It may be tonight, maybe nobody knows about your sin. Nobody knows what's going on in your life. But you know what it's done? It's destroyed your relationship with God. It has destroyed your relationship with God. You see, sin will come between you and God. The psalmist in Psalm 66, one of those passages of Scripture that we need to think about sometime. He said in verse 18, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." You see, your relationship with God can be spoiled by iniquity. Your relationship with God will be severed by sin. If I regard, that is, if I even begin to let it have a place in my life, the Lord will not hear me tonight. You see, Psalm 66, if you read it, is really a hymn of praise. It's a song tonight of the awesomeness of God. He said in verse 1, "Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands." Well, that's a wonderful thing to do, isn't it? Make a joyful noise unto the God. He said, "Sing forth the honor of his name, make his praise glorious." Oh, we ought to be able to praise the Lord. That's a great song of praise tonight, isn't it? He said, "Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee like they shall sing to thy name, Selah. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doings toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes beholdeth the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves, Selah." That's a praise unto God. You see, tonight it's praising the God tonight who delivered us from bondage into freedom. You see, we were in bondage to sin tonight. We were in bondage to Satan. We were hell-bent tonight. We were headed straight for a place called hell that we talked about this morning. We're drenched in sin. But God, through the awesomeness of his Son's love and mercy and grace, delivered us and brought us from bondage into freedom. He delivers us from the darkness of sin into the light of his kingdom. Brought us from death unto life. A God who has worked wonders and blessings in our lives. Look at verse 16. He said, come and hear. All ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. You see, tonight, all the Lord's people tonight have really been blessed, haven't we? God has blessed us so wonderfully in our lives. And we could talk about how God has been marvelous to us. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. We ought to all be able to praise God. He said, come in here. Let me tell you what God has done for me. God has done so much for me. He's done so much for all of his people tonight. Great testimonies that we could give. But you know, sometimes something happens in our lives. Maybe a temptation comes along. Maybe something else happened and coldness begins to set into our life. For whatever reason, tonight we get drawn away from God. God begins to be less important to us than he used to be. We're no longer close to the Lord because this thing has separated us from God. David, of course, had the affair with Bathsheba, had the murder Uriah, her husband, on his hands, and you can read in the book of Psalms how that his heart was broken. Tonight, you begin to think about that. You begin to read that. David was doing what Rehoboam done. He was still pretending like nothing had happened. God took a country preacher named Nathan and sent him to him and looked him in the face and said, thou art the man. David had been pretending that nothing had happened. He knew in his heart, and you read the Psalms, and you'll find that he was torn apart on the inside because he was not right with God. He was no longer in a relationship with God. He couldn't pray because he had iniquity in his heart, and the Lord wasn't hearing. Oh, God had blessed David wonderfully, and you read the Psalms and how David will account for his blessings. But yet tonight when sin entered, that relationship was severed. And he was no longer close to God. You see, that's what a lot of people do tonight. They're drawn away from God, but they don't want to admit the truth. They don't want to humble themselves. They don't even want God. They don't want people to know something's happened to their life. And so what have they done? They just make them some shields of brass. They're still pretending on the outside. They're still trying to look good and godly on the outside, but on the inside, they're miserable. On the inside, something's going on that's terrible in their life. God not hearing your prayers. Well, that's a sad state to be in, isn't it? God not blessing your life. You lose your joy and your song. Don't even want to be here tonight. I'm being ugly, but we lose our joy and we lose our song because we're not right with the Lord tonight. People say, why don't people come to church? A lot of it, nice, because they've lost their joy and their song and they're miserable. People lose their passion and their enthusiasm. Well, they go through the motions. I didn't even know there was such a thing. Recently, and I saw something on television about air guitar. You know, people playing an air guitar and the music playing. I couldn't even do that, but all they're doing is going through the motions, aren't they? I mean, they're not having to, I don't know what you call it when you catch them strings, but they're not doing that. They're not picking. They're just going through the motions, pretending like they're playing a guitar. Well, they got all the passion and the enthusiasm, but really they're doing nothing. A lot of people doing that tonight for God. They've lost all the passion and enthusiasm, and they're just going through the motions. They're absolutely doing nothing because they've lost all of that on the inside because they've erected themselves some shields of brass tonight. Yeah. pretend that everything's okay. And they think nobody knows. Come on, think about that. I think about a dear pastor friend of mine that's now deceased, and told me one time that he got two or three reports that the lady that played the piano in the church was frequenting at some taverns and bars. And so he said, I really didn't believe it. But he said, one day I was driving up the road and I happened to see a car that looked just like hers at this specific tavern. And he said, I said, well, what did you do? And he said, I got home, got on the telephone, called the bar and asked for her. Once you come on the phone, I said, this is your pastor and I know where you are. People probably know what you're doing. See tonight? And you know one thing you always, I found out about brass, it tarnishes real quickly. And you have to polish it. Or do you have to polish that stuff? It'll tarnish and you're continually polishing it, trying to make it look good, trying to keep it shiny, trying to keep up face. I wonder how many people are like that tonight. They've got counterfeit shields. And every time they get ready to move, they have to stop and make sure their brass has been polished. One of the things you had to do in the military. You know, you back before a lot of the things that they have now, they were spit and shine, you know, and you had to shine them shoes till they shine, and you had an old belt buckle made out of brass. You took Brasso, and boy, you better have that thing shining. All your little emblems, everything had to shine. And before you went out, you had to shine that stuff and polish it up so you'd look good. I wonder how many people shined their shields of brass this morning before they left for church. I wonder how many people across our nation polished their shields of brass before they headed out to worship. Let me tell you this evening, we shouldn't be too hard on Rehoboam, because I see the same thing happening in the lives of people. And God only asks one thing. Humble yourself. Ask for forgiveness. And he'll restore your joy. He'll restore your song. He'll give you back your passion and your enthusiasm. He'll come back into that relationship with you and hear your prayers and bless your life. But as long as those shields of brass tonight are there, you're not in the right relationship with God as you need to be. Where are you with the Lord this evening? That's the question I'll leave with you. You'll stand together with me. Brother Boothby and Barbara, come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we're together. We ask you to take this very simple message. Use it tonight for the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for us. In his precious holy name I pray. Amen.